Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Nerd Radio, your national NerdNet radio direct. I am Nick. Here with me today is...
I am Nate. I am Legend.
Am Nate.
Hi.
Welcome.
Am Nate.
Back to the show.
We're going to...
appreciate you coming.
Show you a very good time.
Giggity.
Happy endings and all.
Speaking of happy endings, we got some MFing news, people. Good news. Good news. All good news. All good news comes to those who wait. And it's been a long journey. If you've been here since Apex... if you've been here maybe even from, once in a fortnight, or if you've just been on our YouTube from the beginning, it's been a long time coming, but it's here. We're finally here. We're finally at the precipice of what we could very well good stuff. I lost it.
I was going to make a joke. If you've been here since once in a fortnight, have you checked out your AARP policy?
So anyways, hey, how's it going? Hey. How's it going? Okay. Yeah. Would you like to know the good news? Nate, do you know the good news? It's about our Lord Jesus Christ. How would
don't
you like
you know,
to know the good news? Everybody wants to know. Sorry.
Well, everybody does know.
Yeah.
That the bird is the word.
What if we just left it at that? That's the good news, everybody. It's the bird and the bird. The bird is the word.
The bird and the worm. Yes. Leave the antissa.
Congratulations.
Patient.
More like the master. Cation. Anyway, we're starting off strong. Anyways. Okay. Good news here, everybody. So, recently... we tried out, and by we, I mean me, because Nate's a punk.
Yes, bitch, yes.
Yes, but recently I tried out the beta for Knockout City, and I loved it, absolutely loved it. And, of course, like some kind of heroin addict, when I have something I like, I do what I do best, and I make a podcast. So that's what we're doing. We're making a podcast about Knockout City. That's all good news, right? Oh, hey, cool. Like, especially if you are a fan of Apex Legends Hubcast and you've been here for a while. Or, like I said, if you've been here since once in a fortnight, you're like, oh, okay, cool. They're making another podcast. I really enjoy those. If it was just that, I wouldn't call that good news. I would just call that an announcement, okay? No, people. I've got good news. Good news for all you.
Good news, everyone.
I was actually pretty good. I didn't even... Anyways, so I've been in contact with the makers of the game. I can't, like, give away any, like, industry secrets. That's not what this is about. But rather, I'm in close contact with somebody, somebody from the community management and also marketing. And basically, I, wanted to start off a good relationship with them and say, hey, we'd love to have developers on the show, if anyone from like HR to level design to marketing to anything. Basically, we want to do with what we kind of did with the voice actors of Apex Legends. And that was basically just to get to know the people behind the games. And so that's kind of what we're going to have an opportunity to do with the show. So you're going to get your normal tips and tricks, your normal commentary that you would expect from a ThreatX3 Productions podcast. But we're starting off on a really good footing because we actually have the developers of the game interested in helping us out. And that is a huge, monumental step forward from where we started with Once in a Fortnight, where we started with Apex Legends Hubcast, or even Hope County Radio. I don't believe anybody from Ubisoft probably even knew we existed. So, super exciting that we get to kind of start off new. We're going to be doing things like tournaments as well. I've already kind of spoken with my contact how I'd like the very first weekend it's out just to do a little charity tournament. You know, something fun. It's obviously going to be the first weekends it's out, so nobody's really going to be good at the game other than the people who really played the beta. So it's really just for charity. And basically, at this point, I'm kind of putting it up to whoever wins. Whoever wins gets to choose what charity it's going to go towards. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we'll see how that goes. I had another contact through my Twitter sphere, and he's going to be helping out, helping me find people. You know, I basically said, oh, let's, you know, we're going to need about 24 people. And he's like, oh, yeah, I can get you that. And I'm like, okay, yeah, let's do it. Like, period. We're done. All right. I'll just sit back and bask in the wonders of everything. So we're going to do that. If you are a content creator, more importantly, if you're a kind of smaller content creator, please contact me directly. You can go down below anywhere you're down here, go down below, contact me, and I would love to have you a part of the tournament. It is a 3v3 tournament, so just keep that in mind. Try to get you and two other friends together, and we'll have some fun with Knockout City. It's a really fun game. In my preview, I basically compare it to something like Rocket League. Really, really simple concept, really easy to pick up and just have fun with. But then the nuances and the strategy that you can come up with is what makes it kind of stand above all the other releases that have come out recently, at least esports related. This definitely could be a really fun esports, not just to play, but to be a part of, to watch. Watching it, it feels like a sports event just by watching it. So I really have high hopes for the game itself, but also, you know, in connection to that, the podcast, you know.
Honestly, one of my favorite sports to follow and watch in general is the one where people have balls hitting them in the face. Wait,
you watch it on the Ocho? Is that where you caught it on the Ocho? ESPN Ocho?
That one was. I'm trying to think of the theme. It's like boom, 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 boom. Okay, wait. So wait, that's the wrong thing.
Oh God! I got it. It took me a second. I'm like, oh.
Oh man.
Okay. So that's the good news. That's what we're starting off with today. So if I seem a little bit more amped, a little more amped than usual, I have a very good fucking reason to be. Oops, I said fucking. Oh, well. really good reason. I cannot wait for this to start. So it's going to be starting in May. I guess that'll be the last thing I say. It's starting in May. The game comes out on the 21st, and we're basically having two episodes to kind of, you know, talk about our hype, talk about, you know, some strategies that we were able to come up with during the beta itself, and kind of go from there. Unfortunately, right now, here's their little inside baseball moment right now. Everybody ready? The name is still kind of up in the air. Because originally we were going to call it Knockout City Pirate Radio, because that was kind of like this in-universe radio that was going on in the game. So it was like, all right, let's just call it that. All right. So then I contact the guy from Knockout City, and he's like, yeah, so we'd love to help out, but, you know, could you not call it that? Because that's what we want to call our podcast, and we believe that there's going to be some confusion there. And I'm like, dang it. But also, okay. I basically told him if it was a choice between getting developers on the show and not, I'm going to choose that. So right now the name's kind of up in the air. Maybe we can have some votes in the chat. Maybe you guys can tell us what you like better. Okay. It's either going to be Knocked Out Radio or KO Hideout Radio. We're stuck between the two of them. We had a little voting session on our on our team, you know, Threat Equity Production team. And we kind of came at an impasse where we couldn't decide between those two. So if you guys have any inputs, if you guys have any votes, let us know what you guys think. We'll at least be able to take that into consideration.
Okie dokie.
All right. Artie-dokie. Let's get started with the official show. And once again, for the last couple of weeks, we've been starting with Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So if you're watching live and you haven't seen it yet, skedaddle for about 20 minutes.
Just turn it on mute. Don't.
Yeah,
don't
put it on mute. Once you see the little, you know, once you see the music break, then when we come back from the music break, we're usually done talking about Falcon and the Winter Soldier. But if you're listening afterwards, we just rambled on for a little bit too long, and you're getting a little annoyed. So, anyways, Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Wow. On the positive end, if you're the type of person who loves characterization, who loves character development, this was a really good episode. I'd say my biggest negative is this is the second to last episode, and it's just like, I almost wish this was the middle episode. Or as heavy as the emotional stuff is, it's like this is happening right before the climax, and it's just kind of giving us a little... It's really heavy stuff, don't get me wrong. And it's really good stuff, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, it's just a little bit. Just a little bit. What do you think?
See, I think it ramps up, because I think we're getting a bunch of the emotion, not necessarily out of the way, but we're feeling a lot of emotion going into what's going to be the last episode.
True.
The last episode of this season, because I mean, we might get a season two. I guess we'll have to see. But like, I think that's just going to make what happens in the last episode that much more impactful, because
yeah,
of all that built up emotion, and especially with what they're building up to. I mean, so one of the things getting into it that's clear about this episode is race and race relations, and in a really, really not positive way, but in a very reflectful way, if that makes sense. You know, and it's always hard for two white guys to talk about stuff that's like good racial impact stuff on a show. But like this, basically, whenever you see far people on the right that are complaining about Black Lives Matter or complaining about this or that, they have a specific stereotype like they stick to. Or you know, people who are just, you know, like, you know, oh, they're shoving it in my face, they're shoving all that race, like, they didn't do this at all, at all. Like, this is probably, I think, so far, one of the most, it's really hard to describe this, in a mainstream setting, this is probably the most well put that I have seen a show handle this topic.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because I mean, they could have hammed it up, or they could have, like you said, shoved it in our face. And I don't think they really shoved it in our face, other than, hey, this thing in a fictional world happened, but it also felt real, because it's like, it felt like something. So we're alluding to it, but basically the African-American gentleman, what's his name?
Isaiah Bradley.
So Bradley, from the second episode, Sam goes and visits him again. And so we kind of get a little insight into what happened to him. And so, yeah, if you're more conservative, and or if you're just really, really far right, you could just be like, oh, look what they're trying to shove in my face. I don't think so, because...
It's definitely they didn't, because what was...
Well, really, yeah, that's what I mean. They didn't, yeah.
That's what I said. With the Isaiah Bradley thing, I was watching a video basically about, like, who is Isaiah Bradley, like, a couple weeks ago. And apparently his whole story is based off of something historically wise I didn't know. And so I don't fucking ream myself. I'm going to go back to that video. Isaiah.
Right. But so just to go off of, you know, while you're looking that up, but yeah, there are historical reasons for them to be bringing up this thing. You know, it's not just, and I feel
it's
like
a real
it is
situation that happened. I think sometime during World War II, or around the time that they're proposing, where basically, I think it was syphilis. I'm trying to remember specifically, but It was a group, and I don't remember if they were in the military or not, but they were basically test subjects, and they were injected with syphilis or with this, but they were either not told what it was or were denied the health care and everything that they were promised at the beginning of these tests. Yep. So the fact that they were able to show in the show this is like mirroring a yep. real life historical instance adds that much more impactfulness to what we saw in that scene and to
right.
the emotion.
Yeah, and I mean, if you think that a show pointing out real stuff that happened in history is a bad thing, is too woke for you, then I don't know, fuck off.
And,
like,
and a good comparison here is like, I can see why people think that, like, shoving it in my face in terms of like The Force Awakens. I can see that because mm-hmm. they do kind of put a lot of that front and center. I mean, they do kind of show their hand as far as, you know, we're trying to make this thing, which again is positive. But like, and then you have the arguments, people saying, well, obviously you weren't. And you look back at the original Star Wars, it was because that was more subtle. I mean, they were talking about the Nazis and like, mm-hmm. you know, regime. It was very topical for the times.
Right.
But I think because we're more aware. But anyway, going back to this, it first off, they're doing such a great job of subverting expectations by showing us the thing that they teased at the end of the trailer of this fight. I was thinking this was going to be later in the episode. It's the first fucking thing. The yeah. first thing.
Yeah.
Is them having this great, great, meaningful fight. And so what were your thoughts as far as like how the episode began, or like how like had the whole setting? Because it did change throughout the episode. It started really like pumped up, adrenaline
yeah.
reflecting off the last episode, and then calmed down throughout the rest.
Yeah. I love that first fight scene. It was definitely intense. Because I love that all three of them basically wanted the shield for kind of different reasons.
Yeah.
And all of them, even in their own, I mean, in Walker's sense, twisted way, thought that them keeping the shield was the right thing, and that, you know, they own a part of it, or they deserve it, or something like that. And so I really like that kind of, I mean, a good action scene, no matter what movie or genre it's in, a good action scene tells a story. It yeah. doesn't just go pew, pew, bang, bang. Because no.
there's pieces. There's a story.
There's layers in it.
I apologize. There's so much chest here that was just coming out just now. yeah, no, it's there's different. And I want to go back and rewatch the fight scene just kind of to break it down.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, just if you pay attention to the cinematography in particular, like you see how much they focus on the shield and then the like looking yeah. back up at either person who's looking at it, you know?
Yep.
And it really does show that kind of challenge all three of them are trying to possess at the same time.
Yep.
And what I thought was weird was, and let me know if you kind of picked up on this too, there was a distance between Sam and Bucky, like at the beginning yep. versus what happened towards the end of the episode. So I wonder what that was from. Maybe, do you think he was mad because he was kind of going like, I was right, like
yep.
you fucked this
absolutely
up?
Okay. Especially when he takes the shield and he just basically drops it next to Sam at the end. It was pretty much just like, see, I told you, this is what you get for giving away the shield, basically. And so I yeah. definitely think that that's what he was getting at. And then luckily throughout the episode, they kind of bond a little bit more. Of course, they do their little, like, I'm a man, I don't have emotions. Yeah, I'm not going to hug you or anything. They do that whole thing, but it's still kind of very much in character. So I like that.
Yeah, the whole them kind of actually buddying up at the second to last episode again is like leading into whatever's going to happen in the last scene is going to be more impactful because of what we saw
exactly.
in the last episode. But it was great to see how it starts, and I don't know why it sticks out to me, but I love how important Wakanda is in the Marvel universe. How, like, because it used to be like it was vibranium, like in the mm-hmm. beginning stages of the MCU before they actually introduced it. But instead of it just being it's like separate to its own movie, how like it's that big of a part of the world. And like that whole scene where she's like, you should probably stay away from Wakanda for a while, also cements that is his new home. And so it's kind of cool that we have that tent pole. But I really liked the carrot at the end of the stick. They literally dangled to the very end. It's like, here, got a favorite from the Wakandans. It's like, I wonder what it could be. And
yeah.
Then at the very end,
it's going to be a new wingsuit, obviously. But now it's going to be made out of vibranium. I wouldn't be surprised if it had like, if it was modeled after like Captain America, where it has like a giant star in the middle of it. I would not be surprised at all.
That's what I was really intrigued by, how really they were like, okay, no, we're showing how he is going to be Captain America. Like, I got notes
especially
at the beginning.
Especially the training montage. Every movie needs a montage.
Honestly, I loved it. I really, really loved it. Like, I loved seeing him fail with throwing the shield and like growing, because that's he's becoming the man that Steve wanted him to be. You know, and it really shows the dichotomy between that and then the not my Captain America that we've got.
Hashtag.
Because, like, I mean, even in that fight scene, he's like, I am Captain America. How many times do you hear Steve Rogers call Captain America?
Really hungry. What? Sorry.
How many times do you hear Steve Rogers call himself Captain America?
Right? Especially the
maybe
whole
a lot
I
in
am.
The beginning. Yeah, maybe a lot in the beginning, because that's the character he's becoming Captain America. Like, he does say Captain America in the first one, because
I don't know, because even like
he says it at least two or three times.
I don't know, like, even like, imagine that one scene from Infinity War when Thor comes in. He's in to Groot. He's like, "I am Steve Rogers.
I am Groot."
He doesn't say, "I am Captain America." He says, "I'm Steve
exactly,
Rogers."
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, because and that was, you know, one thing I was starting the MCU rewatch, but like. He, you know, he calls himself Captain America one or two times, but like throughout the MCU, we see him address himself as Steve Rogers. And so that's, you know, Walker continuously shows, no, I am not the man for this job. Cause he's like, I am Captain America. I am the mantle, instead of being, I am John Walker, this guy who has picked up the Captain America mantle. Like, you can see it. And I like how
it's like the title of general. Like, he thinks he's owed it because of all he's done, and now that he has it, he doesn't want to get rid of it.
Exactly. And I really do like how they show his derangement throughout the episode. Like, you see him going to talk to Battlestar's family, talk to what's his name? Lamar. Going to talk to Lamar's family, and like, they're like, oh, is this the guy who actually killed him? And he's like, he lies and says yes. And so it's like, you're just seeing it go farther downhill. But where the fuck, like, what? Fucking from Seinfeld.
Elaine,
I was just like, wait, is that who I think it is?
Yeah, that's like, freaking Elaine. Credits, and
I was like, okay. But that whole scene I really enjoyed. Who do you think she works for? Do you think she works for the power broker?
Ooh, I didn't even think of that, honestly. That's a good point. That's a real good point. She might work for the power broker. I mean, either way, she basically convinces him to go rogue. Like,
yes, pretty much.
I mean, and she even says, like, you know, the whole shield isn't really American or the American government's property. It's more of a gray area.
But that was important exposition.
Right.
Because that basically is like, that kind of frees up any complication of him taking the shield back.
Right. At least
technically,
like, his eyes.
Yeah, technically it belonged to Howard Stark, if we want to be specifically technical.
Specifically technically true.
Apparently. But going into the power broker, Marvel is doing their shit again, where it's like, you're either giving us like clear as day, or you're misdirecting us completely, because that conversation that happened between Sharon and
Sharon, I keep calling her Sarah.
It's okay. Like, I had a feeling I knew who you were talking about, but like, that showing how she's talking to George St. Pierre, and then later on he goes and delivers those weapons to Carly.
Yeah,
it's like, is Sharon is she the power broker, or is this a misdirection?
Right. Which, I don't know, after Abigail? Is it Abigail?
Abigail.
Who's the one from Wanda?
Darcy?
Yeah.
What about Darcy?
No, who's her witch name? What's her witch name? Isn't it
Agatha?
Agatha! I was close. Give me some credit, I was close. But Agatha, she was so, like, blatantly obvious. Even if you weren't a super huge nerd who read all the comic books, you knew something. was up with her because she reacted so differently. And so, unfortunately, after that, ready guys? Here comes the quote fingers reveal. After that reveal, I kind of feel like, yeah, she's just going to end up being the power broker, and it's just going to be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, yay, but, thanks for the setup for nothing.
Yeah. What did you think about Zemo, though?
I thought it was a really weird way to end his story arc. Like, you definitely expected him to maybe get caught again or whatever, but for him to just basically go, okay, yeah, I'm going to go off to the raft now and spend all my days there. I mean, we might get, like, an end credit scene where he, like, breaks out or something, but still, it just seems... It seems weird that's the way they decided to end that part of the story.
I really liked that moment with Bucky where you see him not be like, he's basically showing him, I'm not the man you think I am,
right,
by doing the whole like shooting him and then, you know, bullet trick where he's like, oh, hey, it's not loaded. But yeah, I did think it was weird too, because they really said was that he was in it. But I mean, even with the trailers, they made him seem like he was going to be a bigger threat, we don't really know what he is. Is he helping? Like, is he, like, it's kind of, they put him in a gray area.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see them doing something with him down the road. Like, if they were gonna have like an Avengers movie and or, you know,
well, we know that the rumored new big bad is going to be Kang the Conqueror. So there could be a chance that, you know, Zemo is smart enough to be recruited, as far as we might see him more in a villain sense. It's really kind of up in the air. And I think that's what's really exciting, is we literally don't know what to expect.
Right.
Because it could be anything. I mean, we know multiverse is happening, and we know like big altering things are going to happen at some point. But I'm trying to think back to the episode as a whole. But yeah, the thing that really stands out is all the stuff with, you know, the character development and the sense of coming together. And I think that's going to be important. Well, actually, no, that's very interesting how they played opposites. They show the scenes of Carly and everyone getting together as far as like, hey, we're starting this thing. And that kind of happens in the same side with Sam, where he's like, hey, we need to call everyone in as a favor. We need to get the boat fixed.
Oh, that's a good point.
And so you kind of see both sides of the storm, I guess, with, you know, Walker in the middle. But one thing that I'm fascinated about, pretty much, you know, going towards the end of the episode, is, you know, the after credit scene. We know for a fact he's not building a vibranium shield.
Right.
So is this going to be made out of scrap metal, or is this something that's actually going to be usable? Like, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Because it seems pointless for him to be a super soldier with a weak-ass shield.
Right.
So,
and it, like, also just seems weird that he's the one making it, because it's just like, you know, he hasn't really been established as a welder or as a...
No,
whatever.
Definitely. That's a clear indication that he's becoming U.S. agent, I think, at this point.
Oh, yeah, good point,
But... It was just like, it's probably one of those they couldn't think of a better way to go. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. That one
did seem
weird,
odd, for sure.
But this has got me so hyped for next week. Like, I cannot wait. And then we've got Loki
right
around the corner.
Right around the corner. I mean, that's what I'm starting to really like about these, is that, like, we're getting a nice drip feed. And so I can't wait to talk more about it. But you know what? We're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, we'll start talking about, you know, what games we've been playing and, you know, all that kind of fun stuff. So we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Joining us now, because he doesn't like spoilers, is...
Poetic Ninja.
I mean, God forbid you watch one of the coolest shows out, but hey, we're not going to judge you or ridicule you openly.
Well,
that would
you
be
know
me.
What? I do plan on watching it, and I will probably have it finished by the end of the day, considering how I am when it comes to binge-watching shows and stuff. So
good to hear. So when the finale comes next Friday... We can all have it watched. We can all get caught up, and then we can talk about it all together. Okay.
Definitely.
So let's get into it. What have we been playing today? Nate looks busy, so we're going to start with you, Ninja. What have you been up to playing, watching? What have you been up to, man?
Lately, so far I've been pretty good. I can't complain. It's a beautiful day outside. It's Friday.
It's beautiful morning.
Exactly. So, lately I've been, playing Outriders.
Nice.
As I'm, going crazy over right now. I did get a hold of, Marvel's Avengers.
Interesting.
And I haven't gotten back on that yet. I'm already caught up to the part where, Kamala and Hulk, they just got out of the jungle, or they just got to the ship.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, so that's where I'm at on that. But for the most part, I've been playing the shit. If I could say that, am I permitted to say that?
No. No, sir. How dare you?
PG audiences only. No,
right? We got children's to think about.
About 3 years we went through.
What kind of potty mouth is that?
Cuss words, and we finally were like, you know what? Fuck it. We're tired.
Editing is hard.
It's hard. So, I've been playing the shit out of Outriders. So, that's what I've been playing lately. I've been streaming Outriders and playing Outriders.
What's your preferred class right now, then?
I did say previously I was going to go with the Devastator class, but I was doing a little research on the the Technomancer or something like that.
Yeah.
One that's like a ninja.
Yeah.
Yeah, that ninja guy. That's what I'm rolling with right now, with that guy.
So do you have the turrets or do you have the time bubble?
The time bubble.
Oh, so that's the trickster.
Yeah, the trickster is what I've got.
Trickster. Well, that's good because I like the Devastator, and I believe, Nate, correct me if I'm wrong, you're the Pyromancer, aren't you?
Yeah, Pyromancer.
Yeah, sweet. So next time we join each other, we'll all be different classes or whatever. What do you like about the trickster? Because I think that's literally the only class I haven't played as.
As of right now, I'm still getting to know some of the skill, the powers and stuff like that. As far as the gameplay, as far as the trickster goes, it's pretty good. It's pretty cool. I like it. I like the fact that I can disappear and reappear behind the enemy and just blast them with the shotgun. You know, that's always happens.
Right.
And then there's also the other one, which is the great one, the temporal blade. It just slices through everybody.
Nice.
And of course, there's some other powers they've got where it's like that time bubble, like you've mentioned, where it's like you're in the bubble and you can just pretty much annihilate anybody in that bubble. So it's really cool. I like it. I enjoy playing at that particular class. Now, as far as playing against the captain, when I first came across the captains, the first captain I came across, I was like okay. So I didn't really understand. Because I believe that you could go in and interrupt when they're doing their powering up or whatever. And so I didn't realize that until I was like, whoa, okay. So no wonder I'm getting my ass handed to me. I'm over here trying to shoot the guy.
Right. Yeah, because especially most of the captains, I don't think everyone does, but I think most of the captains have a healing ability. So whenever you see them starting to charge up something, you got to try to interrupt it because either it's going to be a badass, badass spell, or it's going to be him healing himself. I remember this one guy, I kept fighting. I had to have been going on for 10 minutes straight, just fighting this guy. And I looked at his bar and I'm like, am I doing any damage? And finally I realized it's because he kept healing himself. I'm like, son of a bitch.
Yeah. Cause I didn't realize that either until I think the third round,
nice,
when I finally went in, I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm really going to take this guy down. I went straight for him. And the minute he started doing that, I interrupted him immediately.
Yeah.
And he just stumbled backwards and I just hit him with the shotgun the whole time. And then of course you got all these enemies shooting at you from all directions.
Yeah, just peppering.
So I'm trying to take them out. Yeah. Trying to take them out first and then go ahead and just annihilate him. And it was pretty easy after that. So
Yeah.
So in Nick and Nate fashion, I'm going to throw a little curveball here.
Uh-oh.
Because he said captain, it made a funny, made me think about a funny that we can't really show on air. So I'm going to send both of you a picture in chat. Goodness.
Okay.
So if you
are
guys,
you going to email it? Oh, okay.
No, it's just going to be in chat, huh? Copy
what chat image
link?
Because you know the chat just on showing. Meetings.
Yeah.
The chat is showing.
It's a link. It's a link. It's a link. Click on the.
Oh, link. Okay. Because I'm like, brah.
copy link address. Okay. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with what a rabbit is in terms of like a sex toy.
Oh, goodness.
Since you said captain, every time, if you look at a picture of it, this thing has spoiled for me now because someone made a meme. Every time I see this, I see the.
Oh, goodness. Hello.
Every time I see this, I think of the, look at me. Look at, I am the captain now.
I am the captain.
Oh, yeah, I'm the captain.
Got some shocker going on.
like on a dirty like meme page. And I was like, oh, my God, I can't unsee that. And so we went through this earlier the day, and there was one propped up right there. And that's all I could think of was, look at me. Look at me. I'm the captain
I'm
now.
The captain now.
Everybody saw that. Just yeah. So you know.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah.
Did they? Oh, that's great. Oh, that's great. Oh, that's great. It's still on the screen. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So, anyways, going
it's
back to
it's a back
games,
massager. What are you getting so bent up out of shape for?
Oh, man. Wow.
It's a probe. Yeah.
It's a probe. So, speaking of video
games.
Do
we got to fill her up yet?
Jesus. When I say more, not a lot more, but
furniture
I've been
for less.
I've been playing more Avengers.
Oh,
okay. How much further have you gotten then? Have you at least gotten Iron Man? Because like once you get to Iron Man, like it really you get to feel like the different classes and stuff.
I finished the Hulk mission.
Yay! My goodness,
dude. I don't know if it was just like. Because I was playing it on hard, but that took me almost like an hour and a half to beat. Is that just a long mission?
It's probably because you're playing it on hard, because, like, it's, yeah, it's
I,
not that
honestly,
bad.
I enjoy
okay,
playing
which,
it on hard.
Which Hulk mission are you referring to?
The first one. The
oh, so the solo one, right?
Well, okay. the one that you're playing with Camilla. The one
right,
that you're
right.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah, you're looking
yeah,
for
that mission. That mission was actually pretty rough.
So I honestly do enjoy playing it on hard because it's giving me, instead of just a normal, like, beat 'em up, like, I'm just, okay, like, you know, it's actually, I'm having to dodge. I'm having to actually, like,
you're having to dodge, dip, dive, duck, and dodge.
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of that.
And I can honestly say, I think even after this mission, I was probably wrong about Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not. And here's the thing. I'm still going to say this. I didn't say I wasn't going to play it. I didn't say it was going to be a bad game. I was just saying on my base PlayStation, I really don't want to play this game because yeah. It's probably going to run like shit. Mm. But like even on my PS4 Pro, it still sounds like it's going to take off like a damn engine.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
Clean Prince Gaming just put out a video and he pointed out how it's been 285 days since the game came out. And of course he's showing like, you know, the bugs and stuff like that. I'm like, all right, I get it. Like, I don't know. It's still down to the fact that it's just like I get that this was probably pushed out sooner than it should have, but like I still have fun with it. But at the same time, I'm also a very outspoken when it comes to like, you know, hey, we need to finish our games or whatever. So it's like it's a hard one because it's like I get it, but at the same time I also have fun with it, you know.
That's the thing is that's one of the biggest worries I had playing Avengers was that it was going to be very tropish and I was going to get bored.
Oh, okay.
And like because the what I played in the beta and then some of the other stuff just felt like
that was all it had.
Generic. Yeah, it felt super generic.
Okay.
But you would think that probably the most boring character would be the Hulk because he's just this giant motherfucker that's just punching shit. But
yeah.
I had fun throughout
had
that entire mission. And it was paced really well, especially with the switching out between Bruce and Kamala. And like, basically, I pretty much stopped right at the part where I'm going to choose the next mission on the war table.
Gotcha.
But it's also doing a really good job of building this world. And like, I'm getting to know this world of the Avengers. And
yeah.
I'm very impressed. And even... I am excited to get to the other missions honestly, I'm really fucking excited to get to Cap, because when I played the beta and played the first mission, Cap seemed like, I was like, okay, whatever. But I don't know if it was just the polish or what, but when I played that part again, I was throwing that shield around. I felt great. It was like,
oh you know what? God. I felt the same exact way that you did, throwing that shield around constantly. And then just, man, it was beautiful, because it made me feel like, yeah, this is what Captain America would really do. Mm-hmm. You know, throwing it.
It also feels good watching Falcon Winter Soldier, too. It's like, you're actually getting to do that, like, when I finished the episodes. It was really, really nice. It was really nice. But
hearing that ping, 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 ping.
Yeah. But so, oh, yeah, the sound of it, too. Like, when you throw it, you hear the different tonal, like, brum, brum. Like, it sounds, it gives, it's really cool. But besides that, I've honestly been playing an oldie. I've been replaying through Far Cry 3.
Oh, nice. That's a beautiful game.
That's primarily because, so as you guys can see, and I've said this before, this is my work computer. this is my work from home computer. Mm-hmm. So for some reason this week, it's been slow. It's been like 20 minutes in between calls a lot of times. And because I don't have much to do, I'll just turn around and be like, I was looking for a game that I can just kind of like check off boxes. And what I'm doing now is actually playing through Far Cry a completely different way. I'm basically clearing out the outposts. I'm doing all the collectibles first, mostly because I'm not playing with my headset on, so I'm not doing all the story stuff. But I don't think I ever did any of the side quests, like any of the like bounty hunting or any of the Trials of the Rakiat or any of that. Like, separate from what the trophies told me to do.
Right.
But also because this is the Classic Edition, there's none of those bullshit multiplayer co-op trophies anymore. So it's an easy platform. And so that's kind of what I'm going for. But it is so interesting to go back, and Far Cry 3 has been my pinnacle Far Cry for the longest time. And playing through it again, and I don't know if it's just because of the experiences we've had with 5 and New Dawn, but it's like, I'm really almost wanting to pick up 4 again. Because I don't have it on disc. Pick up 4 again, because like 4 was basically 3 but better. Like there's so much I forget that's missing in 3, like the grappling hook and like traversing is so much, but it's also very tropey. Like I had a couple gameplay clips that I had saved. One because it was a really badass, like probably one of the best stealth moments I've ever had. The other one was I shot a deer like on a hunting, one of the little hunting things, and it was like, okay, kill 5 deer. I'm like, all right, there's one, and then there were 3 that were running kind of to each other, and I was like, okay, and I shot at one and it killed the 3 of them, and I was like, that okay. And then it said you had one more, and I had the like the needle where I could see the
oh outline. yeah
and he's just camping, like, and I haven't recorded, he's just standing on the side of a rock just like this, like not moving, and I'm like, okay, do I feel bad about this? But it reminded me of like the kind of crazy random shit that used to happen in that game with wildlife, and it's like it shows me what I loved about it, but like also what I'm missing. And like, it really makes me want to play Far Cry 6, because I like the setting of Far Cry 5, but I don't like the story. So give me the story and give me the story beats from 4 and 3 with the gameplay of like New Dawn and 5. And
yeah, that's always been the problem with a lot of the Ubisofts. I mean, a lot of them are basically just
written
off. Yes, that too. But they're kind of all just been written off because they're so similar. But it's like a lot does change in between. It's just hard because like Far Cry is a perfect example, because while a lot changes, a lot also stays the same. So like being able to do a stealth kill, grab their knife and then throw it at another person, or do a grenade and kick them towards another person. All of that keeps showing up, but you have to keep unlocking it. So it's almost like Metroid, where like you'd be super powerful at the beginning of it, and they'd find some weird convoluted ass way to make you underpowered. Just so that you could go through the game and pick up the same freaking power-ups you had at the beginning. Like, I've never understood why that's a good idea. Like, ooh, here's what you're gonna be, but first off, we're gonna go over here. Why did I turn into Goofy? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, between 3 and 4 is a literal generation. Like, that's it. Like, yeah. Even though this is playing on a PS4, you can still see this looks like a fucking Xbox 360 game. I mean, it's not very pretty on this console. But Far Cry 4 is, because, I mean, it was one of the, you know, I think it was like 2012 and 2014. But one thing, Far Cry 3 is actually, I think, the only setting where I like that experience that you described. Because going back through, I can remember where I was when I finished Far Cry 3, all the skills, every single perk, every single thing that I could do, and I felt like a badass. But like going back and replaying it, there's parts where I go to face outposts. I'm like, wait, where's my wingsuit? Wait, why can't I do a double kill? Wait, why can't I do this? And I'm like, oh, I got to grind a little bit more. I'm like, okay, that's fine. And I actually enjoy like getting the XP to skill up to earn those again. But it can be completely different. Like, I think Assassin's Creed is probably the most annoying because I know I'm about to spend 10 hours getting everything back. Like, don't give me the fucking first mission where I have everything. Don't just let me, like, because then that's just frustrating because that's a much longer experience.
Exactly. You're
stuck through the story.
Yeah,
but I
the
also
one that was the most annoying was Shadow of War, and then Shadow of Mordor, and then Shadow of War. In Shadow of War, you suddenly forget everything, and they don't even bother making some kind of in-game reason why you do. Because by the end of Shadow of Mordor, you learn how to take over orcs and then make them fight with you. And so in the Shadow of War, they have the nemesis system, but of all your good guys. Like, so they took the nemesis system and basically just copied and pasted it for all your guys. So you can have literally an entire army and you can go siege another freaking castle or whatever. But at the beginning, you can't even take over an orc. You still are down to the most bare essentials. And unlike Metroid, unlike Far Cry or any other game, like, it doesn't come up with any excuse as to why you don't remember how to do the stuff you're doing. That's probably the most annoying version of it.
I'll be honest, I bounced really fast out of
Shadow
of War. I got into I played pretty much until I think I went inside that first cave where I was on doing one of those like memory missions.
Oh yeah.
I didn't leave the Citadel. Like, I mean, I got through a couple cutscenes, but I'm like, this is so it just felt so system heavy, and I'm like, I like Shadow of Mordor because it was like Assassin's Creed Brotherhood and Lord of the Rings. I mean, it was very I bounced really hard out from there. But yeah, it can be dumb and repetitive like that. I can also see why Ubisoft decided to go with the silent protagonist in their Far Cry games going forward, because I forgot one of my fucking all-time favorite and hated lines in Far Cry 3 is whenever you get introduced to the character Buck on the radio, and you cut off the radio, and Jason goes, "His name's Buck, and he likes to," and like it gets quiet, and I'm like, because I remember that the four had a voice protagonist as well, and then after that, like with New Dawn, Primal, especially with Primal, and then with five, like they were just like, "No, we're just not going to talk," and that's probably why. But I don't think we've gotten much new news about Far Cry 6, or if it's coming out this year, but I'm excited to see if we're going to see that same jump from New Dawn to 6 like we did with 3 to 4, or similar enough. Like, hopefully it's a lot more different.
Yeah. I mean, me, I haven't really been doing that. I've actually haven't been playing that much.
I haven't either, honestly.
Because of all the stuff going on in the background and all the nice stuff that we talked about at the beginning of the episode. That was a lot of work, you know, a lot of, you know, contacting people, and, you know, so I didn't have a lot to do. I got to ask you guys, have you seen the trailer for Army of the Dead?
No, not yet.
Oh, no, not yet.
Let's do it.
I did see like a...
Fuck it, we're doing it live!
Okay.
Which one?
Army of the Dead, so it should be the most recent one. Let me see. We're going to go YouTube's. The use of tubes. The tubes of you.
Not the official teaser from Netflix, right? The
one. No. This one's like an actual trailer. Like an
action. Film Select is the one. Okay, so this one's from 3 days ago. This is from Film Select.
Yes, that should definitely be it. So let's see. Army of the Dead. Because I think the other one was technically a teaser, whereas this is trailer number one. Here we go. So, yeah, there's I have the one from Netflix. It's 3 minutes and 3 seconds. Why was there a chime? I just heard a chime.
Because I sent that film select trailer in there.
Oh, I saw it, yeah.
Film select?
Film select trailer.
Here we're going to go.
Oh, okay, here it is. Here it is. Yeah, 3 minutes. Okay, the one from Netflix I found.
Yeah,
it.
Do the one from Netflix, because...
Okay.
What is...
I found it.
What is this? Oh, my God. Excuse me. Hold on. We got it. There we go. We got to get... Oh, I have it backwards. That's why. Hold on. This is what we get for doing it live right
the
here.
The top comment on this video makes me laugh really hard. Do you want me to read it while you're doing that?
Sure, why not?
It says, Netflix. So what movie do you want to make? Zack Snyder, Zombie Tiger.
All right, so yeah, I'm doing the Netflix trailer. That's the one I'm clicking on. Oh, geez. Let's pause it.
Going yeah, that's back. The teaser.
Oh, we might want to turn this way down, too, because it's going to get copyrighted up to yin-yang. Okay. So if everybody's on the trailer, we'll count it down. Everybody ready?
Yep.
Where is it? Where's the trailer?
Go on YouTube.
Okay. Never mind.
Or leave the podcast. That works, too. We'll some...
There he is.
Whoops. My bad.
Wrong window.
Wrong lever, Kronk.
Wrong lever. Pull up another tab and then go to YouTube.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Oh, all right. Hold on.
Well, do we want to do a music break and then we'll come back with the trailer reaction?
You know what? Yeah, it's time for a music break anyways. We'll let somebody compose themselves. All right, guys, we will be right back in just a few minutes. Look at the way I see it. I could be a superstar. I'm on the come up. Yeah, I'm on the come up, y'all. I'm on the come up. Yeah, I'm on the come up. If you see what I see. Start right at the beginning. Press play on three. Ready? One, two, three.
So this is a sequel to Dawn of the Dead, correct?
No, it's not.
Oh, well.
I don't even think it's the same universe.
On a warm summer's eve, on a train bound for nowhere, met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep. So we took turns of staring out the window at the darkness. The boredom overtook us, and he began to speak. He said, son, I've made a life out of reading people's faces.
Think about everything we did. The way they held their eyes. Look what it does. But what if? I can see your out of face. What if just once we did something just for us? You ready to play?
There's $200 million in the vault beneath the strip. With a 32-hour window to get it out. Find the safe. This should be a simple in and out.
Famous last words.
It's not too late to go back.
Oh. What the?
They're not what you think they are. They're smarter. They're faster. They're organized.
Oh, Scheiße. You got the hold. No wind to fold. No wind to walk.
No wind to run. You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough.
tiger.
That's crossing the line.
Dude, I'm all fucking in. I'm all in on that.
Yep.
Wow. Well, that was interesting.
Yeah.
That, because that just, that seems like, hey man, I've got a really fun idea.
Right.
It, all in.
I mean,
all in on that.
What's interesting is it seems more, rather than like what you were saying, how it's part of like the Dawn of the Dead universe, it actually seems like it's more of the Dead universe, in the sense of, you had Dawn of the Dead, or you had Night of the Living Dead. They were able to use, you know, certain things like smashing a window. Dawn of the Dead, kind of the same thing. Day of the Dead, you had, I can't remember the zombie's name, but you had a zombie and he basically could start thinking for himself. And then Land of the Dead, all the zombies started getting smarter. So now this is Army of the Dead. They're way more organized. They can, so
they're civilization, basically.
Right. So it kind of seems like maybe that's what they're going. I love this aspect where, like, apparently they took big cities and then just surrounded them with the storage crates or whatever, so that the zombies couldn't get out. And so now they're like breaking in. And the fact that we're getting like a heist movie in Zombieland, essentially.
Yes. Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's such an interesting concept.
With a just a different, like, team. Like, there's also that Guardians team dynamic of everyone is different.
Yeah.
Like, home dude with, like, literal Star Lord, like, white boy with a fucking, like, Walkman on with a bat who looks like he kind of could fend for himself. He's a little bulky, but, like, everyone else is like, I'm militant. I have a fucking, like, gas can tied to my back with an M4.
Right.
But it just, it really does look like someone's like, hey, I have this really fun idea. And they're like, hey, here's money. Just do it. Like, it doesn't seem like anything was. It doesn't seem like any sort of corporate entity was behind this going, hey, let's change this.
You know? Yeah, yeah. I think that sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes that can be the best thing about Netflix. I'm hearing an echo.
I am too.
Hello. Oh, it went away.
Is it?
Hello.
It's not me, is it?
Okay. I think we're good. But that can be what's good about Netflix is, we get movies that we wouldn't normally get. Like, I guess a really good example is like Eleanor Holmes or whatever, or Elaine Holmes.
Eleanor.
Alora Holmes. Alora Holmes.
Alora, thank you. Alora.
Oh, wait. It's Anola.
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 Anola. Anola Holmes. Yeah, Jesus Christ.
It was a hard one, guys, but we got there. Anola Holmes is a movie. I mean, it even had freaking Henry Cavill, for God's sake. You know what I mean? So it had big names to it, but it also just was very weirdly structured, in my opinion. And so I think that it was weirdly structured because they made it the way they wanted to, rather than this corporate entity. It was like, all right, you got to cut out this subplot and, you know, do this and do that or whatever. And so I think that maybe. And to get a Army of the Dead, I personally, let me know what you guys think, but I personally prefer Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead, because I went back and I watched Dawn of the Dead 1987 or something, and it's very aimless. It's very much just kind of shambling along.
Like, they just threw it together.
Yeah. Whereas,
no, I'm thinking of the original. The original Dawn of the Dead was very message-driven, like very statement, like making a statement, not necessarily about the zombies, where I feel like the Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead was, you know, about character development, but mostly about zombies. Like, it definitely, you know, suffers from, you know, the mid-2000s reboot sense that, you know, we went through. But it's a lot more enjoyable. Now, it's way one of those more. That I stayed home from work one day, I think, because I was super fucking anxious. Sometimes my anxiety gets real bad sometimes where I'm like, I can't really function. And for some reason I decided to watch that because I knew I had to. And I finished it and I was like, I really enjoyed that, but also shouldn't have fucking watched it because now I'm even more anxious. Mm-hmm. But like, that being said, like, I had never seen it before and I thoroughly enjoyed it. So that's kind of where I'm not saying it's just because of the Snyder Cut, but I think because it's now in the public eye that Zack Snyder is his own director. Like in Hollywood, you can't
touch him.
You can't touch him anymore. You can't pigeonhole him anymore.
The director's cut of Dawn of the Dead, it doesn't add a shit ton, but like there's all these really good character moments. Like there's this one part, it's almost like a form of torture. This they send in one of the guys to watch over the people that were in, they were forced. It was the security guards. They took two of them and they put them in a jail cell because they were being assholes, basically. You remember that? So there's this scene that's not in the original, but it's in the director's cut, where the old guy who, during one of the montages, he's trying on the women's shoes. So it's like you can tell he's, you know, he's either a transgender guy or he's gay or something. So there's this whole point where he goes in to their cell and he just starts coming out to them, essentially. and it's just funny because it's like, he's like, could you shut up? And he's like, so then my second time was, and it's just like,
well, and that's kind of one of those. I think going to that point is like, I know going into his movies now that he's not going to have any restrictions. Like there's, it's really, I'm going in with no expectations because I've, that trailer alone. I mean, you put those, you literally, it's like you took a pegboard and had a bunch of different topics, a bunch of things. It's like, okay, zombie tiger, there's one. Dave Bautista, there's another one.
Yep.
Army, Vegas, zombies, evolution. Like, you know, it's you can easily see that, but I think, will it be critically the best movie? Maybe not, but it's going to be fun. That movie looks
definitely looks fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
I do like how, I mean, this definitely seems like another of the dead, and we haven't had another of the dead since, like, Land of the, like, I guess officially. Like, there's Survival of the Dead, there's, like, Diary of the Dead, there's a couple of, like, knockoff ones, there's even one or two, like, straight-to-DVDs that George A. Romero did himself, but even still, like, they were clearly low budget, whereas this, it's like, hey, we're gonna go to freaking Vegas, and we're gonna, they either recreated it completely in CG or they did this really cool looking set or something because it looks freaking amazing.
Another thing that I do enjoy about this is this looks like a different zombie movie. This kind of looks like a culmination of World War Z and like Warm Bodies, where we're getting an evolutionary story of zombies that we don't normally, but at a similar scale to that. But it also almost shows signs of instead of World War Z, where you really just see zombies in a blur because they're running at you. This is like Dead Rising, where it's like large collections of zombies, you know. But so it's, I'm excited to see a new type of zombie movie because anytime because that's why Warm Bodies is one of my favorite soft zombie movies, I guess you could say, because it's not really gruesome or anything.
Okay, what do you guys want to, what do you guys say about the, oh, sorry.
I haven't drinking most of it.
Mute yourself. Go on.
What do you guys think about the? I'm just kind of veering off topic a little bit, just a little bit.
How dare you?
But we're still on the topic of zombies. What did you guys think of the actual show itself that was on AMC?
The Walking Dead.
Oh, Walking Dead.
Yeah. What did you guys think of that? So, comparing it to the works of these current zombie movies now that they're making, like even this one. That's coming out.
Right.
I stopped at pretty much after Negan was introduced, and I didn't go back. So I don't know what new things that they're doing or what new things that they're doing for the genre. So you might be able to speak to that a little bit more than me, but
I can.
Oh no.
Walking Dead for me, I absolutely love the comic book series. And so I was pretty much in from day one. From this, I feel like the worst thing about The Walking Dead is it's such a good freaking show, but they have the most horrible sense of pacing. A perfect example is, I think it's season 4. They get split up because they had to they had to go away from the prison or whatever. They get split up. And so that was like the mid-season finale where we had to wait a whole month to see what's going to happen to the group next. And so they have one episode where it's like Glenn and he's doing this or whatever. Then we have an entire goddamn episode about Belle wanting to go get a freaking drink or whatever, or Beth or whatever, wanting to go get a drink. She just wants to get drunk because she's just like, screw it all, guys. I'm just like so sick of this. And Dale has to like basically rein her in the entire episode. And like, that is the perfect amalgamation of my thoughts on their pacing. Horrible pacing. The show, if you look at it as a whole, another really good example is season two. Season two is a good season if you look at it as a season, but as soon as you go into each individual episode, they'd have like one episode, oh my god, I can't wait to see what happens, and then the next episode, oh god, what the hell, get going.
Yeah. It's Walking Dead, I think, definitely spells being a bingeable show. Like I watched season two, and as a season, I thoroughly enjoyed it. But
I
going
did too.
Into it, everyone was like, "That's the worst season," and mm-hmm. I could see why. Because if you had to wait week to week for those episodes, I'd be fucking pissed too.
Yeah.
So, you know, really with me with The Walking Dead, I think that the prison and then leading up to was it out? What was the name of the place? Was
Alexandria.
Thank you. And the whole quest for Alexandria, I think, were some of my favorites just because mm-hmm. we really didn't know what was going on. But I got to the part where we obviously see the unfortunate spoilers, whatever, of Glenn by Negan. And I was like, that was awesome. And the literal next episode is fucking Carol waking up and we get to meet Ezekiel. And it's a clear indication of, hey, this is a filler palate cleanser after the horrible things we... And I'm just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm done.
Yeah. Exactly. I have to say season nine, I want to say, they introduce the Whisperers.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Suddenly... It got good. Oh my god, it got good. Like, it suddenly went back to how I felt about like the first couple of seasons. Each season has its own like flaws, except for season one. Season one, and I think that the problem with the show overall is it got too popular. So season one, for instance, is six episodes long. I feel like it's the perfect length.
Yep.
Season two, the main problem is those filler episodes. So the main problem is too many freaking episodes. Mm-hmm. And then from that point on is pretty much what's wrong with the show is the pacing.
It's the release schedule. Yeah. Like, don't give me fuck it. Like, one thing I don't like, and I hated the way Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did this, don't give me part A and B seasons.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
I get it. I get it timetable-wise, but like, you're giving me two story points that are inconsequential when you can give me one full one. And then they especially do... Walking Dead is the worst fucking offender of this.
They're the ones who pioneered it, pretty much.
Yes, exactly. Like, hey, we'll give you 12 episodes or 11 episodes. Hey, make you wait 6 months, and then we'll get the other 11. And then that will finish the season. It's like...
Yeah.
No.
No.
Don't do that.
I refuse. Yeah. Yeah.
Especially when you don't have anything to build up to.
Yeah, that's another reason the pacing is really bad, is because when you come back, you want to come back to a good show. And usually, right. Most of the time when you'd come back from their mid-season finale, you'd have like a really good episode and then a filler. And then maybe a really okay episode and then a filler. It's like too much filler. I love the characters. I love the characterization. I love everything about the show. But it needs to be like each season could lose three episodes, and instead of having a long drawn out episode, just slice them up and put them together. You know, like take three episodes, slice it up a little bit, put it together, and instead of 14 episodes long, it's only 12 episodes long. It's a much condensed, like, would we get as much
episodes.
Character? Maybe not, but still, it's like, ah. And even
they do that because they want to flourish out the characters more. So the way you have a better understanding.
Honestly, I don't. I do believe that, but you don't have to do it for every fucking character. And I think that's
right. But that's what they were. I think that's what they were intending to do. They were trying to flourish out the characters so that way you know, people can have a better understanding of who the characters are. Of course, you know who your main characters are, right. And then you've got your sub-characters.
Which
and
the problem I'm running into now is I just don't know where to start back up again.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if I start with season 6 and just watch that from the, you know, from the beginning, because I don't feel like I need to rewatch the entire series.
Definitely.
It's been about 3 years since I finished, or not even finished, since I watched that episode of 6. Like, season 6 came out. Mm-hmm. That I've watched it, but like I don't know if I just need to start with 6 and then go from there, or if I need to be like, hey, this is what was going, like I don't know how, like where, because it's the scare of having to rewatch a lot of the filler, and I'm like, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I don't want to ruin that experience.
I don't think anyone wants to do that.
Right. I mean, somebody needs to do like a super cut of the seasons, because you know, there's definitely some questionable decisions. Like, where they started taking Andrea was horrible. They're like, hey, let's have her have a relationship with the governor, but then she's going to go back to her original people, but then she's going to go back to the government. And it's just like, like, they're trying to give her an arc. The worst thing over the last couple of seasons is they take this side character that you know, but maybe you don't know that much about, and they'd give them this really cool story just to kill them in the same episode. It became such an obvious ploy that people...
Which one are you talking about?
Just characters in general.
Like, okay.
Just characters in general. If it was a side character and suddenly you were starting to learn more about them, they were going to freaking die.
Yes. Yeah, like Tyrese is probably a really good example of that. He got his own episode and it's like, oh, okay, no, he's dying. We're watching him die.
Right.
You know, it's like, which is a way to tell a story, especially in a zombie setting, but it's just like, you've been doing the same thing for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, it's not, people are doing things better, and it's kind of one of those, you need to move on with the times. I'm excited to watch more of it.
The fake outs, dude. Oh my God. They faked us out twice with Glenn just to bash his freaking brains in. They faked us out with Rick, and then they faked us out again in season 9, and it's just like, I'm tired of this. Why do you think this is good writing? Who the fuck is writing these? And Robert Kirkman, I don't think he's a main part of it anymore, but he's always been a main part of it. And now watching Invincible is like reading the comic, only I get these extra little nuggets of information. It's so, oh my God. If you, the people listening, if you have not, for some weird freaking reason, haven't seen Invincible, you have to watch it. If you like comic book movies, comic book series, it is such a good freaking show, and it's so faithful and it's so sincere, and
he came.
Yep.
All right then.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I conquered. So oh man. So yeah. I mean, the only other thing I would have to say is let's get hyped for Knockout.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know what? I did go on to their, I guess you had a link or something. I went to their link, and really, honestly, I didn't know that it was a dodgeball game until I was like, oh.
It's so much fun. Like, and that's not even like me, Mr. Hype Boy talking. That's just,
it really does look super fun.
It is so much fun. And, you know, I said it once, I'll say it again. Like, it's simple. Throw the ball, hit the person, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's the nuances. It's the catch mechanic. It's the pass mechanic. Like, for instance, we have three of us here. We're on a 3v3, right? Mm-hmm. I could throw the ball to Nate, and by passing it, it overcharges it. So immediately he could then just chuck it, and it's going to go way faster than if he would charge the ball up himself. You know? So like R2 or right trigger, whatever you're playing on, you'll start to charge the ball, so you'll be,
and then you release it,
and then by releasing it you'll throw the ball, and it locks on to characters, so you don't have to worry about you know, like tracing, like, okay, he's going over here, you know, like it automatically does it. But then that person, he could catch it, he could dodge it, he could throw his ball at it and have the two balls hit each other. There's so many ways to get away from the ball or to psych a person out. Like, you can even, like, if on the PlayStation, it's the right thumbstick. You click down on it, and you literally fake a throw. So you can fake a throw. They do the catch mechanic, which leaves them vulnerable after the animation is done.
And you can just hit them.
Pummel them. So nice. It's simple like Rocket League. Get the rocket-powered car and put the ball in the goal. So it's simple. It's easy to – not only that, it's fun to watch, right? And mm-hmm. So same here. Simple concept. Throw the ball. Hit the person. They're out, you know, and it's the team composition. Like, the 1v1 is interesting because it's almost like a battle royale where it starts to shrink. So it's interesting, but to me, it's the 3v3. It's the team composition. Another thing you can do is, let's say – all the balls got thrown off and they fell off the map and they haven't respawned yet. Well, you can just turn yourself into a ball and then one of your teammates can pick you up and throw you. If they do a full charge, you'll turn into a basically like this big, like, what's it called from Goku does it, the soul bomb or something. You'll turn into this
spirit
big
bomb.
Like, spirit bomb. And so you throw up into the air and you're basically like landing a predator strike drone and just and that makes it a one shot. But this is something I didn't know. If you turn yourself into a ball and then that person passes it, you're automatically charged versus having to hold down the button. So, like, I could put myself into the ball, Nate could pick me up, pass me to you, and I'm already fully charged, ready to get airstriked.
Wow, that's really interesting.
I'm watching your gameplay video. Right?
Thank you.
Did you have a problem throwing the ball? Because it looks like a couple times where it looks like you go to throw, but it's like the button, like, the trigger's not doing the action. You might just be holding it and charging it, but, like,
well, like I said, you can fake some.
Oh, okay. I was going to say there's a couple moments where you throw it, but it doesn't throw it.
No, yeah, you can fake it because then you throw them off. They try to do the animation and it throws them off or whatever, or they try to dodge or whatever.
Then you can just nail them from there.
You know what the art style is giving me vibes of?
What?
Like Splatoon meets Sunset Overdrive.
I could get that. Yeah,
I could see that too.
Even the font style is very like Jet Set Radio.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Very much so. I agree.
Yeah, so my personal opinion, and this isn't Mr. Hype Man, this is Mr. Nick. My personal opinion, this could be, as long as the community's there and they're rearing to go, this could be the next big esports. There's going to be a free trial for the game when it first comes out, and then basically after that you have to buy it for $19.99. So I'd say that's the only quote-unquote downside. It would be nice if it was just free to play, but they at least do give you that option to do a free trial. So it's like, I can't fault them too much.
Mm-hmm.
What were you saying?
Yeah. I was just saying $19.99 for that's not bad at all.
Yeah, exactly.
That thing, really
exactly.
Like, we're talking about new multiplayer experiences on Oculus Quest. There's a battle royale game called, I don't remember the name of it. Population One, I think it's called. I think it's called Population One. But the game itself is $40 or $50. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not cheap. And it's like, I would play it, but it's like, I don't have the money to put towards that specific kind of game.
Right.
So $20, especially for that, is really not bad.
Yeah. God, your shirt is just taking a nosedive into your clavage. I just realized all of us, did we plan this? Look at this.
I don't know.
We
plan this. This is a deep V.
Come on. That deep V. You definitely have a more like Wolverine type chest going on than I do. It's there. You just can't really see it on camera. All right, your turn. Come on. We got to see yours. Whip it out.
I don't have anything.
Whip it good. And that, people, is how the cookie crumbles. Is that a sock? Yes, this is a sock. Are you new here? You've been here before. That is a... Oops, sorry. Anyways, that is going to be the show. Thank you guys so much for joining us on this episode of Nick and Nate. Keep an eye out for our new Knockout City podcast. That's going to be starting on May 6th. Let me double check the date. I'm pretty sure.
It's whenever we come out with a name.
Because of all the good news, I was actually considering doing it sooner. So it's actually May 29th. I think we're going to do the first episode.
Oh, May 29th or April 29th?
April. Yeah, May? April.
Thank you.
April 29th. Oh, okay. We record it live just like we do with the Nick and Nate show. And then the next day it'll come out on podcast services. And then the next one will be on the 6th. The next one will be on the 13th. Then the 21st is when it comes out. So instead of recording it live on the 20th, we'll record it live on the 21st. Well, actually, I guess we could just do a late version of that because it'll come out at 10 o'clock my time, 9 o'clock Poetic Nerds time, and 11 o'clock your time. So
okay.
Call in if you need to. We're going hard. Anyways. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining me. I was Nick.
I was Nate.
And Poetic, or Kenneth, Poetic Ninja.
Poetic Kenneth, I like that.
Poetic Kenneth.
Ninja.
Poetic Kenneth.
Go with that. Thank you guys, and have yourself a wonderful day. Oh, won't you rub your fingers?